From Harlingen down south to Amarillo up north, Beaumont back east to El Paso in the west, no matter where you are, you're on Texas Standard Time. I'm David Brown. Great to have you with us. And so it begins. The bathroom battle of 2016 has arrived in Texas. Some would say it actually got its start here during last year's debate over Houston's equal rights ordinance, the so-called hero referendum, defeated by Houstonites when opponents fixed their fire on the issue of who gets to use what bathroom. Should the determiner be birth gender or one's gender identification? Does accommodation for transgender persons have safety implications for others? Back in November, we told you the fight in Houston almost guaranteed more battles across the nation, and North Carolina has proven us correct in that regard, at least, after the city of Charlotte passed an ordinance allowing people to use public facilities based on gender identification. Well, the state government turned around and passed something called House Bill 2, which overrode such ordinances, making the proper use of bathrooms dependent on one's gender at birth. Yesterday, citing threats from Washington to withhold federal funds for what it considers a civil rights violation of North Carolina's transgender population, North Carolina sued the U.S. government. In fact, they sued the Justice Department, asking a federal court to clarify what does and does not constitute discrimination under Title VII and Title IX. The Justice Department immediately countersued the U.S. Attorney General, giving an impassioned press conference, drawing comparisons between North Carolina's bathroom bill and Jim Crow laws. Today, it's Dateline Fort Worth. The Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick, calling for the resignation of the new superintendent of Fort Worth Schools, Dr. Kent Scribner, who was hired in October. This over new guidelines issued by Superintendent Scribner. One of those guidelines states that students have access to restrooms consistent with, quoting here, the gender identity that each student consistently and uniformly asserts. Not that any of this is without controversy, but there is something else in the guidelines, which may be perhaps even more controversial than anything to do with the potty. They are instructions for school personnel on their relationship with a transgender student's parents. According to the guidelines, campus counselors are to serve as, quoting here, a designated ally for students or transgender and gender identity issues. They are to share information with students' parents only, quoting here, on a need-to-know basis or as the student directs, and they must work with the student to assess the degree to which, if any, parents are to be consulted. Dr. Janet Hicks is a professor of counselor education whose research involves school counseling and child and adolescent counseling. She joins us now from Lubbock. Dr. Hicks, welcome to The Standard.
Hi, how are you?
I am fine, and thank you very much for taking time to speak with us. Let me ask you about the role of the counselor here. The counselor obviously wears a lot of hats. Is it appropriate for a high school counselor to be, as the policy puts it, an ally for students on gender identity issues?
The school counselor is there for every single student. They don't categorize students into these are the students I help, these are the students I don't help. They're there to help every single student. So certainly they don't want to ostracize any type of student. They're also there to build trust. And obviously, if they start setting up barriers that, oh, I help this kind of student and I don't help this kind of student, they're of no good to anyone because all of the students will know that they are
right.
Biased.
Of course, I understand the issue of helping all students. But the question here, I suppose, is as an ally on gender identity issues, Is that appropriate? If a student comes with a question about gender identity issues and perhaps a change, is it appropriate for a counselor to be an ally in that regard?
I honestly, yes, I do think it's appropriate. The reason I say this is the students who are the most bullied in school, the students who are the most harassed, the most apt to be harmed, are gay students and your transgendered students. And often the school counselor is the one safe place that these students can go to help them just get through the day.
Part of the role of the counselor, obviously, is to serve in place of the parents in a school setting, but obviously not as a replacement for parents. If a minor comes to a counselor with questions about gender identity, what's the rationale for not disclosing that to an actual parent?
Okay, let me just kind of go, this is kind of a long answer to a short question. There are legal issues, and obviously legally, when a school counselor sees a student, they have a legal obligation. If a parent asks to know what was said to them, they have to tell that parent. But ethically, you have to look at it on the other side. obviously, if a student's in talking to a school counselor, they need help and they need someone they can trust. Counselor to keep things that are not of imminent danger confidential, then the school counselor's not going to be able to help them at all. So there's this constant balance that school counselors have to go through, and they're constantly having to say what's in the best interest of the student. Obviously, if they can, if it's not imminent danger, they can keep things confidential from parents, at least short term, so that you can help the student with whatever their issues are. And I think another thing that we have to remember is students come to school counselors and they say all kinds of things.
Right.
In counseling, we have what's called the presenting problem. They want to know if they trust you. So they'll come in and tell you the wildest thing they can think of to see if they can trust you to keep it confidential. Obviously, imminent danger, counselors are never going to keep that confidential. If a student says, I'm suicidal, I'm cutting myself, they're going to let the parent know something like that.
Dr. Hicks, I wish we had more time. I know that a lot of parents are concerned that, you know, about whether or not secrets could affect their ability to be good parents. And that's a question we just don't have time to explore. We hope you can join us again sometime in the future. Dr. Janet Hicks, Professor of Counselor Education, speaking with us from Lubbock.